chapter of the book of Romans. I love the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 5. God's good to us. Thank God for His goodness, His grace, His mercy. And we want to look at this 5th chapter of the book of Romans. Amen. Praise God. We look at it. And we'll stand just a moment when you find it. And let's read together, please. And let's read a little bit here and see what God has to say to us. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore. That's a continuation of some of the other stuff that Paul's been saying. He said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto you, or unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. You can be seated. And let's pray. Father, give us wisdom and understanding to comprehend and, Lord, to explain the Scriptures. I pray at the same time, Lord, that You'll give us that heavenly anointing. Without that anointing, Father, we know today that we'd be a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And Lord, certainly come to the house of God's not the place for that. And I pray this morning, Lord, that You would give us words from above. God, words from this book. God, that You might today show us what we need to be seeing. Lord, hearing what we need to hear. Lord, doing as we need to be doing. And we'll give You the glory, the honor, and the praise. Touch some heart, some life. Lord, if there's one that's cold and indifferent or drifted away, got, Lord, at the place that they can't seem to find where they need to be, I pray, God, this morning You'd touch their heart. If there's one under the sound of a voice today that's lost on their way to hell, Lord, I pray, convict them of their sin. Let them see themselves as they are. May this be a day they cry out and call upon the Lord God Almighty. Lord, be birthed in the family, saved by the grace of God. Touch us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm glad this morning that we're going to look at a little word here called justified for just a little bit. That's a big word for Baptists. See, Baptists have a hard time with them big words. But we want to deal with it. Now, I didn't come to Twitter. Every time I think about Twitter and I think about somebody just like a bird just kind of twittering around on a limb or something. And I didn't come to Twitter, but I did come to text. I've been texting God's Word for years. Amen. Ain't that what it is? It's the text. Got it? Amen. So I'm going to give you the text. I just read it to you. And we find this morning Paul said, therefore, being justified. What's that word justified mean? A simple word and explanation that I give for it down through the years is just as if I had not committed sin. Amen. Justified. Amen. And that means that God looks on me this morning and He does not see my sin, but He sees the blood. And because of the blood this morning, God accepts me in the beloved. Now, I'm not a fit candidate for heaven. Neither are you a fit candidate for heaven. You said, why, preacher? You are. No, me personally, not. You personally, not. But God has made a way of escape of our sin and covered it and washed it in His precious blood. and His blood is accepted. Now, God has not accepted my person. He's accepted the blood of Christ that's been applied to my heart. Amen. Do you understand that this morning? I always, when I look at chapter 5, I always look at the three ways of justification and how that we are justified. And first of all, we'll look at it this morning. He says first in verse number 1, I've gone over these before, but I give them to you again. I'm not going to apologize for using Scripture. Amen. That's my job. But the Bible said in chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by what? Faith. Now the Bible said faith is something we got to have. Without faith, it is impossible to what? Please God. God says that His people live by faith. Most folks try to live by sight, but God says we are to live by faith. And so we are justified by faith. Faith in what? Faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, our substitute. So we're justified, number one, by faith. Put that in your notes. Put that in your brain. Amen. Get it in there where you can get it, where you can pull out and get it every once in a while. Now, look down in verse number 9. We read the second way of being justified. And actually, when it's all said and done, it's the same way. It's just the three different measures of the ways that God does it. In chapter 5 and verse 9 said, much more then, being now what? Now, not later, but now, justified by His blood. Number one, we're justified by faith. Number two, we're justified by His blood. Now don't read it wrong and say justified by blood. That could be the blood of anything. But we are justified by His blood. Amen. And we look at that. And so we'll find that we're justified by His blood. The third one is found in chapter 3 and verse number 24. In chapter 3 and verse 24, Paul tells us the third way that we are justified. He said, being justified freely by His, what? Grace. Amen. I want to see if you're there. Amen. By His grace. We are freely justified by His grace. So we're justified by faith, by blood of the blood of Christ, and by the grace of God. Amen. Faith, believing in Jesus Christ, applies the blood to your heart, and that's because of the grace of God. Amen. It all works together. It's one thing. Amen. By the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I've been justified. I was speaking to somebody this week, and I asked him, I said, do you know that everything's all right? I asked this question many times through the week. Are you ready to meet God? And this particular person said, well, I've been baptized. And I said, have you been born again? Listen, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if somebody asks you if you're saved, don't tell them how many times you've been baptized. How many in this building has been baptized more than one time? More than one time? Amen. All right. Now that don't mean nothing, does it? Amen. So somewhere down the road, brother, you may have been baptized a half a dozen times. But it don't matter. Brother, that don't get you to heaven. But being born again does. I believe you ought to be baptized after you're born again. But I don't believe you ought to go through life then bragging about your baptism. Amen. Sometimes I tell people, I remember when I got baptized in the old river right over here between the White County and the Habersham County line, right on the bridge off of 115. Y'all know where that's at. Go over it all the time. And I was baptized, that little old river. But brother, that didn't birth me in the family of God. I saved before I went to the river. Amen. And I don't go around bragging about that little spot over there. It is dear to me. But amen. Salvation at the altar through the blood of Jesus Christ is more precious. And I brag on Jesus and the salvation of God. Amen. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. And I give God the praise. Now, grace. I have a problem. I want to look at something else before I get into that. Over in the next chapter 2, we'll find in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans. Now, I just want to point this out to you. I've done it before, but I want to do it again to get to the thought of where I want to be. In chapter number 7, we find that's the I chapter of Paul. Paul's I chapter. Paul talks about himself in that chapter more than any other chapter of all the writings that Paul put out. Matter of fact, the word or the letter I and the word I in chapter number 7 is mentioned 33 times. Amen. Can you imagine that? Paul said, for then in verse 15, which I do, I allow not, for what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is. Matter of fact, these eyes will twist you all up and you'll look at that and say, what in the world is Paul talking about? Amen. I mean, he twists on. What Paul is trying to tell you is that he's been saved by the grace of God. God has brought him out of darkness into light, but he said, there's still a part of me that's not dead. He said, I want to tell you this in a nutshell, what he said in chapter number 7, and we're going to get back at that out of verse chapter number 5. He's saying this. He said, I have an old Adamic nature. I got the nature of Adam in me. And Christ one day constrained me on the road to Damascus. Grace showed up and got a hold of the old Adam. And the old Adam was made a change. He was suppressed. And the old Adam was put down and put in bondage. And the grace of God began to rule and to reign. But every once in a while, old Adam still begins to kick. And old Adam still gives me a little bit of problem. So he said, those things I would do. He said, I don't do those things I don't want to do, I do. And he said, every once in a while I turn my back and old Adam's been up in the business again of bringing problems to me. Amen. Amen. You said, preacher, I don't have no problem with Adam. You probably don't know who Adam is. Amen. Amen. I have a problem with old Adam. Amen. Old Adam will be old Adam. You can't do nothing with old Adam. You can keep him suppressed by the grace of God. You can keep him controlled by the Word of God. And you can keep him down to where you can't see him with the Spirit of God. But otherwise, Adam's going to show up. That's why you'll scream at your husband. That's why you'll scream at your kids. And that's why you'll scream at your wife. Amen. Adam shows up every once in a while. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, I mean, every once in a while, I mean, my temper gets up a little bit, and I get to think, why, a saved man couldn't say and do that. But old Adam does.
Amen. That's right.
Now, I'm not giving you no excuse today when you hit your finger and you start cussing. You ought not to be cussing.
Amen.
Nobody. Amen. God changed my talk. He changed my walk. Amen. I've had to learn when I hit my thumb, glory!
Amen.
Instead of saying something bad.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. That's right. Now some of y'all got to the place, I've heard some of you talking just in your general conversation, talking sometimes, you're right close to cussing and don't really realize it. Use old slang words that mean the very same thing that you don't want nobody else to say around you. And I won't even repeat them. Amen. But I'm saying to you this morning, I'm justified. I'm glad this morning that God has saved me. But I want to remember this one thing. I still have a problem with Adam. I'm talking about the old Adamic nature in me. Brother, the Bible said sin. Talks about it in Jeremiah. He said, we were conceived in sin and we have been shapen in iniquity. David talked about that. Amen. Jeremiah is the one that said, our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, no telling what you'd be doing. No telling where you'd be at this morning, and no telling what kind of need you'd have in your life. The grace of God has suppressed old Adam. But one of these days, and I do thank God, brother, one of these days the spirit and the soul is going to separate from this hunk of junk I'm living in, and it's going back to dust, and while it's rotting away with the skin worms eating the flesh, Brother, I want you to know I'll be in glory, released and set free, and with a new body glorifying God forever and forever. Adam will be over. Amen. You said, preacher, I ain't looking too much forward to that. I am. The closer I get, the more forward I'm getting to looking at it. Amen. Praise God. If you get, some of y'all done got so camped down here now, and I didn't say cramped, I said camped. Some of you done drove up so many stakes that you got so much to do. I always keep coming back to this. A little old girl visited this church some time ago, came in with granddaughter way back yonder, and she went out the door. And I said, boy, I wish Jesus would go ahead and come back. Wouldn't you? She looked at me, she said, I got some things I want to do first. Now, I hope nobody in this building feels that way. Amen. I wouldn't have to go to the house to get anything. Amen. I'd just leave it off as an unfinished task. And you can take it over and do it. Amen. I'm leaving. But I look at the scriptures and I say, you know what happens? Every once in a while, old envy will rise up in me. Old Adam will punch me in the side and envy will jump up. You ever get envious of anybody? You know what envy is? It's having some kind of jealousy because somebody's achieved and done something that you haven't done. You kind of get envious of somebody. They bought them a new car and you're in debt up to your eyeballs. Amen. Because you've been fooling around with other things and you're jealous and envious of them. I wish I could drive a new car. I wish I could buy a new house. I wish I could wear new clothes. Amen. Be content with what you got. What God said, but you get envious. And so old envy jumps up, and when you're envy, you know what you do? You kind of get resentful. That's an enemy of God. God don't want you to be envious. That's a sin. Did you know that? God don't want you to be jealous. That's the old Adamic nature rising up. Amen and amen. Then the next thing you know, you kind of get discontented with everything. You ladies, you get tired of the same old furniture, you want new. Amen. Us men, we'll sit in the chair till it falls out from under us. Amen. I mean, boy, the bed looked like a swayback mule. Amen. That before we'll ever decide we're going to buy a new one. Mama wants something changed. The curtain, she wants something changed. They get the place, they're just discontented. When you get discontented with what you've got, the Bible teaches us we ought to be content with whatsoever state we're in. And when we get discontented this morning, what we're doing is we're saying, hey, we don't like the providence of God. Did you know God controls it all anyhow? God can keep you from this and God can keep you from that. And God can put you where you don't want to be. And God can take you away from things that you don't need to be in. The providence of God works mighty. Well, sometimes we get to worrying. You know when you're worrying? Somebody fretting, they'll twist their fingers and they're looking around. Oh, I don't know how in the world we're going to make it. I hear people like that all the time. I don't know how in the world we're going. And the devil runs out across and Adam punches in the ribs. Everyone, I don't know how in the world we're going to make ends meet. Amen. That seems to be one of the songs, you know, we sing. That's page 42 in the devil's hymnal. Amen. We'll bring it to the forefront every once in a while. Worry. We're worried about what happens when Social Security gets gone. We're worried about what if we get cancer next week. We're worried about what if the old car quits and we ain't got no money to pay for it. We're worried about what's going to happen if the roof starts leaking. Quit worrying. Worry's a sin. Amen. You reckon the robin gets up in the morning, sits on the tree limb and said, I wonder how in the world I'm going to eat today, where I'm going to eat today, and what I'm going to have to eat today. Amen. The Bible said that the little lily over yonder don't worry about nothing. Amen. Little frog sits on the lily pad and he don't worry about nothing. He waits on his food to come by. That's called the providence of God. And when you get to the place you're worrying, you're trying to say, hey, God, you're weak. You can't take care of me. Did you know that's what's happening? Amen. When you start worrying, you envying and all that sort of, next thing you know, you got fear. Fear of this and fear of that, and the fear of man will destroy you. You'll have the fear of this and that, and it'll come in different fashions and different forms and come to you. And when you got the fear of God, a fear of man and the fear of the world and the fear of things around you, what you're doing is saying, God, I don't trust you. And you're saying, you're not able to take care of me. And when you have fear, you're saying, God's power is not strong enough. God can do anything. Matter of fact, you can't do nothing, but He can do it all. You understand what I'm saying? Adam jumps up in your lap every once in a while, don't he? He does. He jumps up in your lap. Amen. Every once in a while we get so covetous. We'll have that covet. We want everything everybody's got. Amen. They went the other day, they didn't have it. They went and bought a new truck, and they come driving in. You said, oh, I wish I had a new truck. I can't buy a new truck. Well, if your neighbor hadn't bought one, you wouldn't be bothered with it. Adam crawled up in your lap. Amen. Got you upset. And what you're doing, you get against God because you can't do. Listen, the only way I found out to keep Adam suppressed and keep him where he needs to be is to realize that I'm justified by blood, I'm justified by grace, and I'm justified by faith, and I'm His child, and I'm in His hand, and God is in control, and I want to keep my mind and my heart stayed upon God. I want to try my best just to think on God and the things of God day in and day out. Every waking moment. Amen. I want to keep my mind stayed on the Scriptures. Stayed on the Word of God. Amen. The old man, Adam, will come running out. Now, I'm going to give you some things. Jot these down. Here's some things you need to remember. First of all, that you're God's property. If you're saved this morning by the grace of God, you're not your own anymore. You've been bought with a price. You belong to Him, and He controls and has ownership of you because He saved you. You said, I can't do what I want to do. What did I tell you a while ago? Amen. The Bible said that we're not our own. We are bought with a price. No, you can't do what you want. Well, I want to do what I want to do. Amen. These women, you know the virtuous woman, Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman. Amen. Well, it's hard to find them anymore. But the virtuous woman don't go around saying, give me my space. I got to have my time. Amen. And I can turn that too. The man don't say, I got to have my time. I've lived in a day now when they call it about the man cave and all that stuff. Man got to get off to himself. I'd understand that being married 51 years, why you feel that way. But that's really not right. Amen. Praise God. God said it'd be better for you to be on the roof and, amen, be on the corner of a rooftop than, amen, with a brawling woman. And thinking about that, I don't understand that, but I want to say, my wife's good, but she gets out of line every once in a while, just like all you other ladies do. She don't think so, but she does.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Amen. So every once in a while I'm in my office and I got my door open and I'm sitting there studying and she's going back and forth up and down the hall and she's got to, hey, and I understand her conversation. And she wants to talk. Seems like she wants to talk sometimes when I don't need to be talking. When God's talking, I can't hear both of them at the same time. And He's more sensitive. You talk about a woman sensitive when you won't listen to them. God's more sensitive. A Holy Ghost of God won't tolerate you. I told her the other day, I said, what I'm going to have to do is shut my door and put me a sign up there on the air. Like they do at the radio station. Y'all know about what radio stations are. Oh, yeah. On the air. That means you, no talking, nothing. And we just kidding. I just couldn't kid. Amen. I appreciate my wife. But I don't know what it is to have to live with a real brawling woman. We won't go there. I'm telling you this morning. Every once in a while, old Adam gets out, don't he? Amen? You understand? But I want you to remember, number one, that you belong to Him. Number two, you're always upon His mind. Sometimes you forget about me. Sometimes I forget about you. Sometimes your wife, you may not forget, not be thinking about your, there's other things you think about. And other things upon your mind. Husbands and wives the same way. But I want to tell you, there's no time that God don't have me upon His mind. I'm in the mind of God. I was on the mind of God before I ever had a mind. Before I ever existed. Number three, not only that, but I'm always before His eyes. I'm not always knowing and recognizing He's there, but He's there. God sees everything that I do. His eyes are going to and fro and beholding the good and the evil of all people. God knows, amen, where I'm at, what I'm doing, and God's eyes are always upon me. Number four, I'm glad that I'm always in His hand. John said we're in His hand and no man can pluck us out of the Father's hand. I'm in His hand. I'm on His mind. I'm in His eyes. Number five, I'm always on His heart too. Let me just steal something from the Old Testament to kind of relate to this. The priest, he had a special garb that he had to wear. You know, people say, well, what you wear don't make no difference. Well, God had plans all through the Scriptures of how they were. But that priest had to dress a certain way. He had the priest garments. And he had those 12 stones upon his heart. They were there. And they represented the people of God. And the same way, there's next his heart. I want you to know this morning we are the same way. We are on the heart of God. Not only just on His mind, but we're on His heart. We're in His mind and on His heart. And then I want to give you this one. We're always, as God's people, in His favor. God always favors His people. You said, preacher, God's not a respecter of persons. Now let me tell you something. There's sometime, and I don't believe we ought to show partiality to anybody. James said if a man comes in wearing a fine ring, you don't give him the real fancy seat and then put the poor to the side. We're not to show partiality. But I want to tell you something there. God makes a difference this morning from the unbeliever to the believer, and God gives His children His favor. God don't give me more favor than He gives you. God will do as much for you as He'll do for me. But I'll tell you what, if I get disobedient and I get despondent, and I get to the place that I won't talk to Him, and I get out of fellowship with Him, and I'll tell you right now, God will cut the source. God does not bless us in those conditions. And so you can say this morning, He's not favored with us as much. But God still loves us. Amen. Y'all hear me well? Are you having trouble hearing me? I got a problem hearing you. Amen. Understand? I believe this morning we're in His favor. We're doing what's right. And I appreciate that. I give God the praise and the glory. I want to give you these things and I'm going to quit. These things right here, jot these down. They're important to you. These are the things that you need to give God the praise, the glory, and the honor for right now today. Amen. You get a new car and you say, praise God, He let me have a new car. You get a new pair of shoes. I was thinking about this the other day. I was sitting thinking, you know, ladies have shoes. My wife come in this morning. She didn't even know all this was going to come up in the message. She come in this morning with three or four pair of shoes laying right in the living room. She picked them up and stuff. So I got to get these. Maybe it's last night. She said, I got to put these on the shoe rack. I just thought, what would my shoes done if they'd been in the middle of the living room for two or three days? Amen. I didn't say nothing. I just let it go. Saying it now, I guess. And I got to thinking last week, my poor mama raising us five kids. I don't remember ever going in the house and into where my mother's stuff was. I was raised this way. Mom and daddy's bedroom is a no-no to anybody in the house. I was raised that way. I raised my kids that way. You won't come in my bedroom, you knock on the door. You just don't go in. I ain't got nothing to hide. I was raised that way. And I believe you ought to raise your kids that way. But what happens is, every once in a while, Mom would say, get in here. Come here. And we go in the bedroom. Mom would show us things. She wanted to talk to us about. And I don't ever remember my life looking in a closet and finding more than one or two pairs of shoes. I don't ever remember my mother ever having anything like that. She didn't have a closet full of dresses. She had one or two that she wore on Sunday and then what she had through the week. You understand what I'm saying? But we've come to the place that we've got about everything and we're looking to that. We've got our own ways of doing things. And God's blessed us. So we'll get something new and we'll say, praise God for it, praise God. But hey, whether you've got anything at all this morning, I'm going to give you some things you ought to praise Him for. I mean, if you don't even have a meal, if you don't even know you've got anything to eat today, maybe you eat everything you've got at your house and you don't have a thing to eat, I'm going to give you something to praise God for right now. Number one, jot this down, His blood is effectual and always will be. There's power in His blood. Ought to praise Him. His blood will cleanse any and every sin that man will ever commit or has ever committed or ever will commit. It's effective. It's effectual. Praise Him for the blood. Next time you get down in the mouth and you ain't got everything, praise Him for the blood of Christ that washes away sin. Number two, praise Him that His grace is sufficient for all your needs. Grace. I don't have all the things I want, neither do you. But His grace is sufficient for everything that comes my way. Number three, praise Him this morning that His love is unfailing. It never will fail. There's been some people in my life that I love, what I thought I loved them with all my heart. I'm talking about I loved them, and brother, I wanted to be around them, and then they crossed me up or I crossed them up and something happened and they became a division. And now those people that we love sometimes become people that we despise. Now, preacher, you said you got anything like that? I don't know anybody that I really despise, but I know some people today I don't want to be around no more. Amen. I watch them. There used to be a time they were some of my best friends, and today they're not my best friends anymore. Things like that happen. But I'm glad that God's love never fails. There'll never be a time that God will say, Dennis Dills, I don't love you anymore. Hallelujah. Ain't that that's something to shout off of, isn't it? His love is never failing. Number four, praise Him because His mercy endureth forever. 20 billion years from now, of course, they'll throw the clock away and the calendar away, and we won't know when that happens. But in eternity future, millions of years from now, we can look over and still shout and praise God. And somebody thinks, and some people think they're going to get to heaven, and for two or three days they're going to shout and thank God and praise God, and then heaven's going to be heaven, and they're going to wean themselves away from the throne of God, and they're just going to have a good time the rest of their life doing this and that. You ain't reading the same Bible I read. 10 billion years from now, I won't be tired of praising God. I'll still want to praise Him, and I'll still be praising Him. And every time I'm lifting my voice to Him, I'm going to be thanking Him for His mercy enduring forever. Because even in eternity, if God so wanted to, He could pull back His mercy and still kick us out of heaven and throw us in hell. But He won't. You said He could? Well, He's God and do anything. But He can't either. And I got some other reasons why I ain't got time to preach on that, all right? I'm just letting my imagination run. Are you with me? God really cannot cast us out of heaven and throw us in hell once we're there. But I'm saying I have a reason to praise Him in my little mind simply because He will never do that. His mercy endures forever. He wouldn't be God if He did. And then, mark this one down. His word is forever settled. And it endures too, like His mercy, forever. His word is unchangeable. Oh, they're changing it, but they're not changing His word. They're changing what they think about His word. It's dangerous to play around with the Word of God. Amen. I'm glad I found the Word. I'm glad the Word found me. I could go on with a list. But that's some reasons you ought to praise Him constantly, continually. And that's the reason you'll be praising Him when you get to glory. Ain't got nothing to do with clothes you wear, food you eat, car you drive, house you live in, your occupation, got nothing to do with it. It's what He's done for you, what He's doing for you, and what He's going to continue to do for you. With His grace, His mercy, His blood, I'm justified. Amen. He sees me, He sees the blood, and He says, I give you access. I didn't even get to that. I was going to preach on justified by faith, we have peace. Number one, justified by faith, we have access. Number two. But you go home and study on them. Amen. They're there. God bless you. God help you. Heads bowed.